Behind the Black. Bob Zimmerman keeps Behind the Black, the website, watching very carefully space engineering and space exploration. We begin 2024 with a summary of the global launch industry in the last year. Bob, a very good evening to you. You keep track by state, by corporation, and by success. Who's winning? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Yeah, I keep a track of all the launches, successful launches each year. And my goal in doing this is to try to get a sense of who is succeeding. There's differences in launches, some tiny rockets versus big rockets. I don't distinguish the two for this purpose. So every January, near the beginning of the year, I publish the report of the last year. And so I've got this up on Behind the Black, and it's got lots of graphs that really detail the information. From last year, the big story, of course, is SpaceX. They had 96 launches by a single private company last year, and that number exceeds the number of annual launches by the rest of the entire world for the last two decades and pretty much for the space age since Sputnik. And SpaceX's success and dominance is related to a bunch of things. One, they push reusability very early. It allows them now to put payloads up incredibly cheap. They can undercut everybody by millions, tens of millions of dollars. So that gets them business that others wouldn't get. And they also, all their competitors this last year are just not operative. ULA's rocket isn't ready. New Glenn's rocket isn't ready. Europe's rocket isn't ready. Northrop Grumman's rocket is not available. It's lost. It has to be rebuilt because it's using Russian and Ukrainian equipment. And so that really puts them in the driver's seat, SpaceX. And finally, the reason they have a large high launch count is their aggressive effort to complete their Starlink satellite constellation. Of the 96 launches, 63 were Starlink launches. And that's made it possible for them to pretty much offer that internet service almost everywhere globally. They now have more than 2 million subscribers, and they say they're bringing in enough cash to pay its costs. So that domination is one of the reasons the U.S. has really burst out in the last few years. But SpaceX does have future competition. We can look at some of the various companies. We should expect Europe and ULA to start launching their rockets next year. New Glenn might even be launching next year, though I wouldn't put money on that. And other companies as well are getting ready to launch rockets to compete with SpaceX. That's the good news. The bad news, at least in the free world, is regulation. There are hints that regulation might be coming down heavy on the space industry. For one thing, several companies, new companies, startups, were supposed to launch rockets in this year. There had been a lot of activity in previous years with new companies. Neither company did anything this year, and I think that might be because of regulatory concerns, partly. Technical issues are always a factor. And the reason I say that is threefold. One, SpaceX is experiencing significant delaying tactics from the federal government with its Super Heavy Starship program. In 22, they had said they wanted to do about 6 test launches a year. That would be continuing the fast pace of Starship tests from 20 to 21. Instead, they've only been able to do 2. And that's all because of the FAA and the federal government regulatory control. In addition, 2 companies disappeared this last year. Virgin Orbit went bankrupt, and that was because of regulatory concerns in Great Britain. And Astra abandoned its rocket. And also another company, third company actually, Relativity, decided after one launch of a smaller rocket not to bother with that rocket anymore, but go to development of a larger rocket, all of which put them out of the business for several years. I wonder if regulatory situation is a factor in that. Internationally, China is big news, big continuing its effort. We should expect China to continue. But China's situation is the same as the United States generally. If we should see a political or economic, the political and economic instability in both countries could affect space in ways that cannot be predicted right now. Finally, India. Let's go to India as a conclusion, John. India continues to show signs of real rebirth. Their agency, space agency, ISRO, put itself out of business pretty much during the COVID panic. But they're coming back to life. But more important, that government, in India, Modi government, has been aggressively moving to imitate NASA and transition from having its agency, ISRO, do everything to simply becoming a customer buying products from private sector. And this effort is producing new companies, startups, both rocket and satellite companies, and that could, in the end, make them a major player worldwide in the coming years. They hope to do their first manned mission this year, so they'll be exciting to watch.
The detail I like, Bob, is that private outlaunched public.
Yeah. It's most amazing. If you look at the first graph on my post, I list the U.S. government launches. They pretty much ceased when the shuttle retired in 11. But U.S. government has one rocket. That's the SLS rocket. And they were predicting to launch it in 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. They finally launched it in 22. They're predicting to do a launch this coming year, the second SLS launch. I listed that prediction, but I guarantee it will not happen. And that compares pretty much the dominance of the United States is all private enterprise, all private companies. And that just demonstrates, once again, the value of freedom. You let private freedom function and private enterprise function and private ownership function where people can make money on what they do, and they do amazing things.
KNAU, that's Arizona Public Radio. This is Straight Up Arizona News. I read from the opening graphs. Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin has asked NASA to delay a scheduled launch to the moon that could include cremated remains. Nigrin says he recently learned of the January 8th launch of the Vulcan Centaur carrying the Peregrine Mission 1. The lander will carry some payloads from a company known to provide memorial services by shipping human cremated remains to the moon. I read this out loud because it could sound like a send-up if I summarized it. So that is from the website of Arizona Public News. What is the objection, Bob?
Yes. Basically, the Navajo Nation, this guy, is trying to claim the moon, ownership of the moon. He's claiming that because they consider it, they look at it, and therefore they consider it a sacred site, you will be desecrating it by putting ashes on the surface. Of course, that's already happened. Eugene Shoemaker's ashes were crashed on the moon back in the late 90s when Luna Prospector crashed. But that's besides the point. Private company Celestis always offers a burial option in space. This is the first mission. They hope to get ashes on the moon. It's on that Peregrine lander on Vulcan. Vulcan is ULA's first launch. And so the Navajos are coming along. They have no missions to space. They have no participation in space. They've never have no interest in going into space. They have no ashes on this particular mission. They're completely third party. And they're claiming they have the right to shut it down. They want it shut down. They don't want it to happen.
Has NASA responded?
No, there's been no public response yet, which I think is probably wise. Why get into a fist fight? Just ignore it, because it's absurd. If this claim was accepted, it essentially would allow every American Indian tribe in the United States the right to claim every single square inch of the entire United States by simply claiming they worship the Earth itself. It's an absurd claim. It's absolutely absurd. But this is part of that regulatory framework, the controlling framework of our time. And so someone comes along and says, we want to control things, and they think they can get away with it. Who knows?
I'm surprised that NASA hasn't responded. We'll look for that in future. Let's move back. Let's move back to private space. Super Heavy and Starship, also part of the regulatory capture. What is the status?
The status is SpaceX successfully completed static fire tests last week on both Super Heavy and Starship prototypes that they intend to fly on the next orbital test. They're once again demonstrating that by mid-January, probably at the latest, they'll be ready to fly this orbital mission. I link to the video of both launches and give you the cue times if you want to see these short burns. They're short, 10 seconds for Super Heavy and about 5 seconds for Starship. What's important about this is that SpaceX might be ready, but we still do not know if the FAA is going to approve a launch license or when. They're sitting on it, and they don't do any investigations. Once again, the GAO has confirmed this. The FAA lets the private company do the investigation because they're the qualified ones, and then it says okay. But in the case of the last year, they would get SpaceX's investigation, and then they'd sit on it for several months while they thought about it, and then they'd simply rubber stamp it. And so we're sitting in a situation now. Now, SpaceX has not released its full investigation yet, but I expect that to come in the next few weeks, very clearly. And then the question is whether the FBI will sit on it. I'm standing by my prediction in November that there'll be no launch until March at the earliest and maybe later. And that's because the federal government will stand in the way. And this is the concern for the entire space industry right now.
The Roscosmos intention was to switch all operations to the new spaceport, Vostochny. Has something happened, Bob, back to Kazakhstan?
No, it's interesting. You know, the Russians have not been able to get their Vostochny launch site built. They've only been working on it for 2 decades, and it's not quite finished yet. They've done a few test launches. They've launched a few Soyuz rockets from there with real payloads, but they're not really done yet. So they need Baikonur in Kazakhstan to keep launching. That's where they do their manned flights. That's where they do almost everything. And Kazakhstan's becoming increasingly hard-nosed about that Russian long-term lease. It's supposed to go for at least another 30 years, but they've been applying pressure with each renewal each year, demanding concessions from Russia. And so there's been an agreement for 2024 with Kazakhstan for them to continue to launch this year. But it does tell me that the negotiation between these two countries is souring, and Russia is really on the fringe of losing its launch site here.
We move back to Russia again because this is another territorial claim, this time the ISS. Bob, Russia wants to extend. What is the uppermost date for ISS? I thought we were retiring it or selling it off to private enterprise.
They're looking at trying to extend it at the most till 2030. And the Russians have been saying they're going to stay there till 27, but they're really looking to get out. And they're actually, from a technical reason, they need to get out because they know their modules on ISS are fragile and could fail at any time. So whether it can last till 30 is unknown. But in the meantime, Russia and NASA have a barter agreement whereby Russian astronauts fly on Dragon capsules and American astronauts fly on the Soyuz capsule. And this is done so everybody knows how everything works. And it's a safety factor. It's a good idea. Russians were originally reluctant to do this because they were hoping to squeeze money out of NASA because NASA was no longer paying them for the Soyuz flights. That didn't work. And so the NASA and Russia have agreed to extend that barter agreement through 25. So we know that Russia's going to stay through 25, assuming their modules don't fail. They'll probably continue to get extended because Russia is not going to launch its space station. It says it wants to launch one by 27, but don't bet on it. And so that's going to keep happening. And it's really the unknown is when will private enterprise be able to take over? The sooner the better. The private stations are saying launch dates ranging from 26 to 28. And we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black about space engineering and space exploration. And we're going exploring next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.